Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of SBI Life Insurance Company. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Kumar Sharma, MD and CEO, SBI Life. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone, we heartily welcome you all to the results update call of SBI Life Insurance for the period ended December 31, 2022. Update on our financial results can be accessed on our website as well as on the websites of both the stock exchanges. Along with me, I have Mr. S. Veeraraghavan, Deputy CEO, Sangramjit Sarangi, President and CFO, Ravi Krishnamurthy. Sorry, Ravi is not there. Abhijit Gulanikar, President, Business Strategy, Subhendu Bal, Chief Actuary and Chief Risk Officer, Prithesh Chaubey, Appointed Actuary, and Smita Verma, SVP, Finance and Investor Relations. Let me give some key highlights for this period ended 31st December 2022. New business premium registered a YOY growth of 14% and stands at 215.1 billion, leading to private market leadership. Individual new business premium stands at 152.4 billion, with a strong growth of 31% and private market share of 27.2%. Gross written premium stands at 473 billion, a growth of 15%. Protection new business premium grew by 25% to 25.5 billion. Profit after tax stands at 9.4 billion, with 13% growth over corresponding period last year. Value of new business is 36.3 billion, registering a strong growth of 44% over 25.3 billion in December 2021, and VNB margin is at 29.6%, with an improvement of 478 basis points over 24.8% in December 2021. Assets under management grew by 17% to 2.9999 trillion. Robust solvency ratio of 2.25 as against the regulatory requirement of 1.5. I would also like to highlight on a few key initiatives taken by the company with a view to offer whole life saving product and keeping in mind the evolving needs of customers. We have launched SBI Life Smart Lifetime Saver, an individual non-linked participating whole life insurance savings product, especially designed for customers who are looking for a product with income for whole of life. The product offers annual guaranteed as well as non-guaranteed survival income. We will now update you on each of the key elements in detail. Let me start with the premium. Individual new business has grown to 152.4 billion with a growth of YOY growth of 31%. Single premium contribution is 30% of individual new business premium, which is mainly attributed to our growth in our individual annuity product. The company gained the private market share by 262 basis points to 27.2%. On individual rated new business premium, we stand at 111.4 billion with YOY growth of 23% and maintaining our leadership position with private market share of 25.7%. Also, group new business premium stands at 62.7 billion with a share of 29% in new business premium. We have collected total new business premium of 215.1 billion, registering private market share of 23.1%. The renewal premium grew by 15% to 257.9 billion, which accounts for 55% of GWP. To sum up, the gross written premium stands at 473 billion with a YOY growth of 15%. In terms of APE, premium stands at 122.6 billion, registering a growth of 20%. Out of this, individual APE stands at 112.4 billion with a growth of 23%. During the period ended December 31, 2022, a total of 15.67 lakh new policies were issued, and it registered a growth of 20%. Individual new business sum assured registered a growth of 14%, over corresponding period last year as compared to growth of 5% at private industry level. Considering our robust performance for the period ended December 22, we continue to expect strong growth in our performance for Q4 in FY23. Now, something about the product mix. As on December 22, our guaranteed non-par savings products are contributing 17% of individual new business, and on individual APE basis, this contributes 24%. Non-par guaranteed product new business has registered a YOY growth of 147%, mainly due to the new business contribution of Smart Platina Plus of 19.4 billion in the period ended December 31, 2022. This product was launched in March 22 and has seen a strong traction in the new business premium, mainly due to the product features witnessing high acceptance in the market. Individual unit new business premium is at 83.7 billion, which now constitutes 55% of the individual new business premium. Individual protection new business premium is at 7 billion, registering a YOY growth of 12%. Group protection stands at 18.5 billion with a growth of 30%. Credit life new business premium has grown by 27% and stands at 14.5 billion. On APE basis, protection contributes 10% of the new business and registered growth of 18%. Annuity business is at 33.6 billion, contributes 16% of new business premium. Under annuity, the company is offering immediate as well as deferred annuity option. Individual annuity business is growing at 139% over last year. This is mainly due to new business contribution of Smart Annuity Plus of 25.3 billion. Total annuity and pension new business underwritten by the company is at 60.4 billion, registering growth of 10% over the same period last year. With strength of more than 54,000 CIS, SBI and RRB Bank Assurance contributes a share of 69% and grew by 37% in individual new business premium, and on individual APE basis stands at 78.2 billion with a growth of 25.3%. Agency, one of our other strong channels, registered new business premium growth of 22% and contributes 18% in new business premium. Agency channel individual APE stands at 29.5 billion, a growth of 15.1%. As on December 31, 2022, the total number of agents stands at 1,93,635. During the period, the company added 47,578 agents net. During the period ended December 31, 2022, other channels, including direct corporate agents, brokers, online and web aggregators, grew by 48% in terms of individual new business premium and 42% in individual APE. Protection new business premium through other channel registered a growth of 36%. Partnerships like Indian Bank, UCO Bank, South Indian Bank, Punjab Fin Bank and Yes Bank registered growth of 49% in individual new business premium. These partnerships have contributed 3% of the individual new business premium. Now to come to profitability, the company's profit after tax for the period ended December 31, 2022 stands at 9.4 billion with 13% growth YOY. Our solvency remained strong at 225% as on December 31, 2022. Value of new business is at 36.3 billion with a growth of 44% YOY as against 25.3 billion in the corresponding period last year. VNB margin is at 29.6% vis-a-vis 24.8% for the period ended December 31, 2022 with an improvement of 478 basis points. Growth in VNB and VNB margin is driven by change in product mix, predominantly in non-par segment and business volume. With our growth targets and the product mix shift, we expect to maintain a healthy VNB growth rate. Operational efficiency parameters are robust. OPEX ratio stands at 5.2% for the period ended December 31, 2022. Our total cost ratio stands at 9.7% for the period ended December 31, 2022. With respect to persistency of individual regular premium and limited premium paying term, 13-month persistency stands at 84.6%. Company has registered a significant improvement in 49th and 61st month persistency by 178 basis points and 491 basis points respectively. We have witnessed improvement in persistency ratios across major cohorts. As mentioned in my opening remarks, assets under management stands at around 3 trillion as of December 31, 2022, having growth of 17% as compared to December 2021. The company continues efficient use of technology for simplification of processes, with 99% of individual proposals being submitted digitally. 45% of individual proposals are processed through automated underwriting. To conclude, we continuously endeavor to maintain our leadership position and continue to further increase our market share by offering products that meet the evolving needs of our customers. With our widespread, robust distribution networks, complemented by digital technology, our innovation strength, and above all, our people power, we are placed to make the most of abundant growth opportunities offered in India's under-penetrated insurance sector. We are committed to enhancing digital experiences for our customers, distributors, and employees. Further, we shall continue to explore new partners, leverage existing partnerships, and launch new products that meet customers' needs and provide seamless customer experience. Thank you very much for a patient hearing, and now we are happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avinash Singh from Emkay Global. Please go ahead. Avinash,
hello.
Please go ahead with your question. Yes.
Yeah. Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. Good evening. A couple of questions. First one on this FFA buildup. Of course, till Q3, you generally have FFA buildup. In Q4, you release something. But the kind of quantum of FFA buildup in the Q3, it seems to be on the higher side. So can you just please explain why this sort of a bit of extra FFA you are building is something to do with your product mix or something else that I'm not getting? That's one. Second, if I am understanding it correctly, the VNB sensitivity to reference rate is negative. But if I see the VNB margin walk YOY, there I see a positive, impact of risk-free rate going up. So what am I missing here? That's the second. And thirdly, if I look on the commission side, of course, you are much lower versus peers. But overall, if I see even kind of a factoring in the new business growth being higher, a bit higher growth on the commission side. Is it something to do with the product mix changes, or have you sort of increased some bit of commission in existing products in existing channels? So three questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll take the last question first. So the product mix has changed, and therefore the commission mix has changed. So this is purely on the basis of product mix. We have not changed largely. We have not changed much, anything significant in the commission rate as such. Coming to the other points, Prithesh, kindly go ahead with the FFA buildup and what's missing on that.
Thank you, sir. So, Avinash, thank you for the question. And VNB, let's take the VNB one. So, when we compute the VNB, we don't take any asset backing. So that's the reason when interest will go up, you see the parity of rate coming from. When you do the sensitivity, we do take the asset backing benefit. So if you see, we are writing a lot of non-par product, and to hedge the interest rate risk, we do write forward rate agreements. Now, when interest will go up, MTM losses will incur on the FRA, and that's the reason you are seeing the sensitivity is giving negative direction in upward scenario, whereas in normal walk, you are getting a parity. So in general, if I have to remove this FRA benefit, you might be seeing the parity sensitivity on the interest rate as well.
Yeah, very clear. Yeah. So if you can help me on FFA, yeah.
Yeah, and FFA, you see, that's what happened. FFA, we normally declare, assess our asset share calculation, declare the bonuses and recommend in the third quarter. But certainly we see a lot of improvement in the par persistency over the period. And when a policy gets revived, you get significant premium, and because and then you have to ultimately go and declare those bonuses. So it's a natural thing. And second thing, you see the par business has not done to that extent that used to happen. So par business, we write more non-par business, utilize some of the FFA. So that's the reason FFA is building up. There is no changes done to build up the FFA. It's a normal things. And end of each year, we'll review these things, and additional FFA will be utilized to distribute the bonus to the policyholder in the current year and in the future as well.
Okay. So that's clear. And if one just a small data keeping thing allow, can you give a brief, broad idea of number of in-force policy currently in SBI bank channel? I just want a broad sort of a number to get broadly that okay, where we could be where in the potential. So number of
I think we'll send you the information, okay? Because I'll have to dig it out.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshuman Dev from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the product trends that you are seeing. So we have seen a little bit of improvement in the ULIP mix in this quarter. So I just wanted to understand the sense of demand that you are seeing on ground, be it protection, because some of your peers have indicated that there has been an inflection point in terms of quarter-on-quarter growth in protection. And also, non-par segment because of the higher interest rates. And, you have shown improvement in units. So if you could give a broad outlook on the demand outlook on each of these segments.
So see, basically, protection is something which is growing. For us also it's growing. And in the till December end, we have 25% growth over last December. So this is a good trend that we have, and we think that it will be there for some more time, even though there is no COVID effect like last 2 years when there was a sudden spurt in the demand in some of the quarters. But we have been growing steadily over the last 4 years in protection quarter on quarter. So we will continue to keep growing at a good pace in protection. Now coming to ULIP, so we had said earlier also that when other things are all equal, then obviously ULIP, we have got very good ULIP products which have been in good demand. So ULIP demand will be back. And even though it was growing always, but I think the growth has slightly accentuated in this quarter. So that is definitely there. Going forward, I think non-par guaranteed will continue to see a good traction. ULIP, of course, will definitely, because they, right now the markets are also good. So, and people are, I think people have come out of that fear of the markets suddenly moving or something. So maybe the demand will go up. But we had earlier also seen good traction, even when the markets were, doing so many things. We were seeing good traction in ULIP. So we will continue to see good growth in ULIP.
Thank you. And one just follow up on that. Any particular channel where you are seeing an improvement in ULIP? And if you have any overall, margin guidance for this margin and volume guidance for this year?
It is across the board. So, the ULIP growth and the business growth, both is there in all the channels. So I don't think we will pick out any particular channel for any particular product.
And would you have any margin or volume guidance for this year, FY23?
Yeah, so margins have been very good for us. So it will, of course, change a little bit here there with the product mix. But largely, it is going to be around, what we have right now.
Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swarna Mukherjee from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, so a couple of questions. First one on the product mix. So now ULIP mix for the third quarter is quite close to what it used to be earlier. Now, I wanted to understand, you know, would we be, you know, having some kind of a target mix in mind, or we will kind of offer the products to the customer and then let the product mix take the shape? What would be our, you know, strategy in this? Because earlier I thought,
what you said is what I have been maintaining for a very long time now. We actually have the entire product suite, and we offer to the customers, and whatever, you know, comes out of that, of course, we get the feedback from the customers what products are good, what are, and we do keep changing or, you know, adding products to the bouquet. But largely, we don't really aim for a particular product mix, but then what we would be, you know, looking at probably is about 60% around thereabouts ULIP and remaining to come from the other products. So, you know, that's largely around. So I wouldn't be worried about 4-5% here, there, because it's, you know, finally what the customer wants, and, you know, if it is giving good margins and it's giving a good product to the customer, then I think, you know, it's a win-win for both of us. I think you must have got my reply.
Yes, sir. I broadly got it. So I just wanted to understand that between the second quarter and third quarter, what had changed that resulted in this appetite for ULIP? Is it only the markets or anything in the product that we have done, or any commission structure we have changed for our channel?
We have been maintaining all along. I don't know if you were on the call last quarter and the quarter before. I have always been maintaining that, you know, ULIP demand will be there. It has always been there. It's only that, you know, the pent-up demand for non-par was probably very high in the beginning couple of quarters, because we didn't have that product in our suite. And now that we had that product, we had a huge demand for that. And that growth sort of probably overshadowed all the other growth. But otherwise, our ULIP has been growing steadily. And I think, you know, it's just part of the continuation of that. There is nothing spectacular about it.
Okay, sir. That's helpful. In the non-par product, this new variant, what would be the contribution in terms of AP within the non-par basket?
26%.
And given that, you know, this environment, I mean, this particular segment is very competitive, and few players have also increased pricing.
Yeah, 22%.
Given that this segment has become very competitive, so how are we in terms of margin? Are we able to maintain the margin, or are we taking some amount of impact on the margin to ensure that, you know, there is a pickup in our product?
No, I don't think we are taking any impact on the margin or anything of that sort. And really, you know, that... the non-par product, like I said, you know, that there was a demand, and there was a pent-up demand, and that was what, you know, we saw earlier. And I think the demand will go on.
Okay. And, sir, just to clarify, because these are all income products and longer duration, would it be fair to assume that they will have a margin profile which would be much better compared to the endowment variant that we had, the older version?
Slightly higher.
Thank you, sir. That's all from me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my question. Just the first one on the SBI productivity per branch.
Sorry,
I think we had about.
Mr. Shyam, but we are unable to hear you clearly. Your voice is sounding a little muffled.
Okay, is it better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, so the SBI productivity per branch, the number was about 40 lakh last first half. We've seen it jump to 62. Is it just seasonality that the bank starts doing more in Q3, Q4? Is that the explanation, or have we done anything in terms of a strategy to kind of push up the productivity in the SBI branch?
No, the seasonality takes care of that. It is normal.
Got it. So in terms of when I try and look at you and compare this to some of the private peers, this number, we are now closer to where some of them are. Do we think there is upside here from a productivity per SBI branch perspective? And what's working for us? Because we are now bridged the gap between them. But if I were to look at penetration numbers of SBI bank customers, I don't think it's the same. So just if you could help us understand what's happening at the branch level.
So, you know, we have been expanding the market. If you look at the number of policies that we sell, the growth has been huge. I'll just give you a sense of the numbers. The NOP's growth, 15
lakh policies.
Yeah, growth. Growth over last...
Around 20%. 19-20%.
Policy? Number of policies growth was 22%.
Yeah, 22% policies growth, you know, and in a market where almost, you know, if you look at the industry, the policy growth has been negligible. So, in that industry, if you look at 1 year CAGR, 3 year CAGR, our number of policies growth is huge. So, that, you know, that explains the slight difference in productivity that you may find with other players. You know, so we are selling everywhere, not only in Bombay, Delhi, but we are selling in all the places across the country. And we are introducing newer players to the market, newer buyers to the market, newer people who are insured. Obviously, the ticket sizes are going to change a little bit, and therefore the productivity, you know, is going to be slightly lower. But going forward, we would track the number of people that we cover, the NOPs, plus the average ticket sizes which are increasing, and plus the number of branches that are selling. So, you know, this all these parameters will keep increasing.
Shyam, to just clarify further, we do expect our productivity per branch of SBI to go up, and you rightly pointed out that, you know, we are not penetrated the customer base of SBI. There is still some leeway there for us to catch up and increase our business through the SBI channel.
Sir, is it just data point, is that number like 2% of SBI bank customers have an SBI life policy?
It is very rough, you know, because we don't have the exact data of SBI customers. I wouldn't.
Fair enough. Second question and last question. Yeah, got it. Second and last question, just on protection, just going back to some of the earlier participants. 9 months, we have got 18% APE growth, but retail has been slower than group. But if I look at QOQ, like Q3 versus Q2, there's actually no growth. In the sense, it's flat. If I were to look at YOY on retail, Q2 was a 3 or 4% decline. Q3 is just plus 4%. So I just want to understand competitive dynamics here, sir. I think many of our peers now have launched the ROP product. Some of the peer 2 days back has 30% coming from ROP versus zero 3 or 4 quarters back. So anything that you're seeing from a competitive standpoint that is leading us to lower retail protection growth? Thank you.
See, our customer base is totally different from what the others are selling to. So I'm not trying to sell to the same people. So the question of somebody preferring somebody else's TROP over mine is, you know, like very vague, because our agency is one of the strongest, and we are there in, you know, so many banks. So really speaking, when I'm pitching to the customer, I'm pitching to him. And we have been selling TROP for such a long time, you know. It is probably some kind of a catch-up that many of these people may be doing on the TROP because they didn't have this product, and now they are able to pitch that product or something like that. But having said that, our protection growth has been quite strong. If you compare the particular quarters that you are comparing right now, you will find that they have grown. You know, our production has grown on in those quarters, and that is why you may find that the comparison is like flat. So that is the only reason I can ascribe to it. Our demand for protection has not been affected by any other company bringing in any product, similar product.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I had two quick questions. One, you know, what are the margin buffers you have? I know that you change your assumptions at the end of the year. So, you know, I wanted to get a sense of if there is any, are there any areas where, you know, you could see some positive or negative variance, some color on that, you know, persistency, mortality, expense assumptions that could help or drag margins. That and second, your agency, you know, continues to do very well and you've beaten peers by a big margin if I look at it over a longer duration of time. So can you help us understand what really has driven this good performance?
So, you know, about the margins, you know, really speaking, we don't have anything to say. So we have given you a color about the product that we are expecting to sell and all that. So, you know, it's I wouldn't like to add anything to that. But about the agency, see, the idea is that we are doing a lot of things there. We have increased the agency force and now we have not yet got the entire fruit of the efforts that we have put on the ground. So we have, you know, increased the agency force by a huge number this year, almost 45,000-46,000 people we have increased this year. And that the benefit of that is going to come now. So really speaking, you know, whatever we see in the agency, we'll probably see the growth coming, heavier growth coming forward, going forward. So we are doing the right things out there. We are taking care of our agents. We are, you know, we are, we could say that we are generating so much employment out there. And our training philosophy and our training methodology is very good. And we have a very good sales force supervising these agents. So I think these are the things, you do the right thing and you get the right result.
So one more question on, you know, with the new new framework coming, or at least right now in introductory phase, you know, commission caps are expected to be removed. Wanted to understand how is, you know, SBI thinking about it? Have we had any discussion? Could SBI come and increase commission rates for us?
So, you know, really speaking, that you'll have to ask SBI, but right now we don't expect any such thing. More importantly, you know, it's not only the commission cap that matters. It is a whole other host of things that are actually involved in that. And then, you know, even if the caps are gone, it is not as if you can simply pay through the nose to get business. You have to have a board-approved policy. And then there will be so many other things that are to be taken into it. So I don't think that it is going to change the, you know, ground reality too much.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Goda from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, when we see the non-par business, which you said pent-up demand led to the growth, but if you look it from second quarter to third quarter, the growth seems to be plateauing around 950-960 odd crores. Given the deposit rates are moving up across the bank, is it required that we need to up the IRR in the non-core product to probably drive the growth further from what you have achieved till date? That is the first question what I have. And the second question, sir, is that our ticket size in non-par is 60% of probably ULIPs. So if we really want to achieve the growth, what we have guided somewhere around 20-25% for the entire year and subsequently, so ULIP still remains the core given the ticket size is higher. So really, given this quarter growth is driven by ULIP predominantly, or more importantly, by ULIPs. So you believe that ULIP is core in the entire thing to manage the growth, otherwise you will have a quarter like second quarter where we struggle to grow.
As you see, the first two quarters were almost entirely driven by non-par product. So I don't think that, it is, we have to fall back on ULIP or, that something like that. I think it's a very, very, very drastic statement to make. What I would say is that, as we have said before, we will let the customer determine what he wants. And if we find that, the demand is not there or demand has gone down, because we are also talking to the people on the ground, we are talking to the customers. It is not as if the customers are buying it blindly or something. Our people are talking to the customer. And when we get the feedback that there is a question of the pricing involved, then obviously we'll take a calibrated look at that, because we'll have to look at the market, how we see the long-term interest rates going. All those things we'll calibrate, and then we'll take a calculated call on that. But right now, if you tell me whether I believe that only ULIP can grow, I'm sorry, I don't think that is the correct position. The other thing is, will I say that I will grow by non-par irrespective of what the customer wants? No, I will not do that. I will, we'll try to strike a good balance between what the customer wants and what we will be able to offer. So, That is how we will try to do, create value for the customer, at the same time not actually, burning a hole in our pocket.
Got it. But sir, are you getting an incremental feedback from the customers or your branch managers or agency channel that now you need to increase the IRR because your product IRR looks a little not competitive versus the bank deposit rates?
I have not received any such feedback.
Got it, sir. And sir, a couple of more questions. One question is that there was a news article or there was a dictate from the finance ministry that PSU banks should avoid mis-selling. Taking the statement on face value, do you think there could be some cautious approach by the State Bank of India to incrementally grow given it has come?
Our mis-selling ratios are the lowest in the industry, period. So I don't really need to, think about mis-selling as one of the reasons for any reduction in growth.
Okay. And the last one, sir, if you can tell us at the end of 9 months, FY23, what is our hedging coverage ratio? Means what are the future cash flows based on persistency, what you expect, how much you have hedged with all the possible instruments like forward rate agreements and PPD today?
Today, I think it's a too much of a futuristic kind of a...
No, I'm asking current coverage ratio. So today based on the anticipated cash flow, what is the coverage ratio you have today?
Yeah, so we have sufficient hedge according to our policy.
Okay, sir. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Doshniwal from UBS India. Please go ahead.
Sir, I had two questions. First is on group protection. If I look it on sequentially, it has actually come off. Is it coming from GTI or credit life? So if you can split the growth numbers for both credit life and GTI?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but management, we are unable to.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the growth is mainly from credit life.
Okay. Can you substantiate it? How much would that be, the growth number? And if GTI, we are cutting down on the kind of mix, if you can give the numbers.
Like, I think we have, you know, we'll have to give it to you later.
Okay, and what is the attachment rate now? Have we seen, because of the improving disbursements, has the attachment rate started moving up?
Yes, about 50%.
About 50%, that's interesting. And the second question was, if I look at the data in some channel mix, what we have given presentation, the ULIPs are actually down on agency channel. While I was expecting that because of the MDRT closure would have picked up. So have we any kind of KPIs you have kind of, you know, given to different channels? Because there is sharp improvement in ULIP from the banca channel, while on a YY basis, there has been some decline on ULIP from the agency channel. Can you have some color on that?
There is some kind of a difference, you know, even though we would like to believe that all the channels have a similar profile of customers, there will be some differences between channels, so that sort of accounts for it. But having said that, you know, ULIP demand, as we have seen, is already there. So if it is there in banca, it will also be there in agency. So, you know, maybe you will see it in this quarter.
Yeah, but it has actually declined 5% YY. So might be last year was very strong. Could be part of these. Okay.
I don't think there is any specific reason for it.
No. And can we substantiate the growth from other banca channel? If you can give that number.
Yeah, I think it's 54% we have grown in the other banks. So that is other banks and other corporate agents, you know. But it's on a lower
base. Sorry?
It's on a lower base. It's a 54% growth.
Coming from a lower base, you're kind of mentioning. So is it that the other banks have been focusing more on deposits? Is this the case of what we are hearing, that deposit accretion is a focus for few of the banks? Because we have SBI support, it's fine.
I think I said that we are growing faster, that is in by 54% in the other bank.
Yes, that I got it, but I just wanted to understand if there is any pressure of deposit accretion across the industry, not particularly for in the banker channel.
Deposits, I think all the banks are now looking for deposits, but I don't think it directly affects insurance sale, because you know that would imply mis-selling. So I don't think there is any, our own ratios of mis-selling are very, very low. Lowest in the market. I have already said that to the last caller.
That I aware it's very low next to LIC. It's lowest for us. The question was more on deposit accretion. Nevertheless.
Yeah, so there is no competition between life insurance purchasing and deposit accretion.
Got it. And the last question is on the composite license. What are our thoughts? And if
these are exciting times where there are a lot of changes happening. So we'll take a look at you know what it entails and what it means, and we'll evaluate.
Cool. Got it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. So just a few questions from my side. First is, you have reported very strong growth in the individual annuities business. So just wanted to get some sense of the price sensitivity in that segment, and are you seeing some pressure, especially when the market leader has been consistently raising rates? Second, you mentioned about the new par product, so just wanted to get some sense of the margin profile on that product compared to your other products that were there earlier. And last, I think on the SBI channel part, I think there has been a lot of discussion in this call also. You have mentioned that your attachment rates have been going up. But, you know, let's on a medium-term basis, what is the strategy to increase the mining of the captive customer base that SBI is setting out there? You know, are you trying to deploy more manpower, or is it just the ecosystem benefits that you want to accrue? So just wanted to get some perspective on this three parts.
Yeah, so the first point I actually wrote, I'm sorry, I was not able to note down. So what was the first question?
The first was on the individual annuities business. So
Sorry. Yeah, that's fine.
Annuities have been growing, you know, throughout the year. And we have changed the rates a couple of times. But annuities has been, there has been strong demand across all areas and across all channels. So annuity has been growing. It is not so much rate driven, if you ask me very frankly.
Yeah. Coming to the PAR product, you know, so the margins are positive. It gives us a, delivers a good margin. But, you know, for any mix that we have, I think it's always good to have, you know, offer all the kinds of products to the customer, because the traditional products, especially PAR products, have a very good role to play in both insurance and also savings build-up. So these are very good products. So this product is, you know, we've got new features in this product. We think it will do very well. So that is as much as the PAR piece is concerned. And SBI, see, what happens is that SBI has a lot of customers, and you know, insurance awareness is something which we are trying to create. And as and when we are able to create more and more awareness, more and more demand comes, and we are able to do better. So I think, you know, that is one of the things. The other thing is, of course, SBI does a lot of analytics on its data, and, you know, they also come up with who will buy what kind of thing. So they have a very strong technology background. So
Sure. Can I squeeze in one more question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So just on the non-PAR, you know, let's say over the past few quarters, over the past 3-4 quarters, what would be the change in, let's say, tenor, pay variant between regular or single, or payout variant between lump sum, income variant, I mean, or ticket sizes? I mean, if you can just give some color on, you know, with the rising rate regime and questions on deposit mobilization, how has the customer behavior changed in terms of product constituents or product contours out there?
And so the income product has taken up a significant part of the growth that we have delivered this year, and we were among, you know, later players where the pent-up demand was large, and that trend continues till now. So the income variant has more demand than the lump sum variant for the normal.
But if you just want to you know, get some sense on sequential basis, have you seen any change, let's say, over the last 60 you know, let's say 60 to 120 days or something?
No. I think what happened in the last day of the last financial year, we launched the income plan. We do see a lot of attraction, so income going up, and then endowment, so both up. Last 9 months, we have not seen any change in the mix between the income and endowment. So there are different customers who are looking for the endowment and different income. So both the need we are providing. Only one benefit we got in the side that now we have a complete suit in the non-PAR income side, both in income and endowment and annuity. So I think that's a change happened. But to be honest, last 128 days or last 10 minutes, we have not seen any change on that side.
Sure. Thanks, and all the best.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, can you talk about operating variances experience during the first 9 months on persistency and mortality?
See, we as you know, we have not disclosed this AOM variant for the, we normally disclose in the year. So once we'll declare, then we were able to recommend that. Just to give confidence to you that both the persistency, all three operating variants, persistency, mortality, and expenses, there is a positive variance coming from. So there is not a single operating variance where you see any challenge in terms of the profitability perspective.
Sure. And secondly, at the SBI Bank, how many manpower that we have deployed?
No, we got, see, I'll tell you, we have 54,000 SBI people who are selling SBI Life products.
Okay, but we don't have any manpower supporting those people.
We have manpower, we don't want to go into that detail.
Okay. And lastly, if I look at the VNB margin walk, there is a positive benefit of economic assumptions. If you look at it, as interest rate increases, our ULIP margin should come down. And since non-par is already hedged, there should not be any margin uplift. So what is giving us margin uplift because of interest rate going up in 9 months?
See, the two things happen. You see this 9 months is yield curve move up significantly. Secondly, we do sell the higher non-par product proportion, which is non-par product is much higher. Thirdly, we are able to sell the product with the customer in the growth without repricing. So we get able to optimize the interest rate uplift in our margin, and that's the reason we're getting the upside down.
So I think all those things should be a part of new business profile, right? As interest rate moves up, ideally the margin should come down.
So no, it's not necessary, because in case of ULIP, you will get the down. In non-par products or even the traditional one, you get upside, because you guarantee certain thing and you're getting certain results. So interest rate up, you'll get a parity uplift in that side. Interest ULIP, you get a negative variance, and depending on the composition of your margin, VNB composition, you'll get the uplift. So we have the very parity composition coming from the non-linked products. That's you're seeing the parity.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. That's it for my time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Jain from Axis Capital. Please go ahead. Amit Jain, please go ahead with your question. Your line is unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question, sir. So I had a question on margin. So if we see that your new business margin for H1 was 31%, whereas for 9M it is 29.6. So is this decline is due to some change in assumptions, or are you seeing some margin pressure on some particular product? And for full year, will it be fair to assume that we should take a like sort of 30-31% margin? Is it fair to assume?
No, basically the change happened only on account of the product mix change. So if you see the 6 month versus 9 month, you see the ULIP proposal increase, and ULIP has the margin lower than the company average margin, and that's the reason we see some movement happen from the 31% to 29.6%. There's no change in assumption.
Okay, and for full year, will it be fair to assume that it will be in this range, around 30% or so?
Hopefully, that's we always keep saying that margin will be, we drive the VNB and margin outcome, so, but we expect the margin will be around in range of 28-30% up and here and there. So partly maybe you can assume that what margin will declare will be able to maintain that.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepika Mundra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for taking my question. So just on a slightly more medium-term perspective, how at the product level, do you see margin expansion opportunities in specific products, and, you know, which would those be?
Difficult to comment, Deepika. I think in non-par scenario, depending on the customer demand, I think if you're able to hold up, then there will be certain expansion happen. Secondly, in case we revisit our assumption, and because we see improvement coming on the persistency side and also on mortality side, so there is a possibility some expansion happen. And thirdly, which is most important, that we continue to reprice the product and coming with a different segment. And if there we able to do some particular segment which having higher margin, I think we can get operate on that side. But not specific to any, difficult to comment on any specific product. But yeah, definitely product line, there will be possibility for operating the margin.
Understood, sir. And, you know, with slightly moving towards a more open architecture in the industry, do you see cost of, you know, new customer acquisition going up? Or do you think that, you know, with SBI, you don't, as a majority channel, you don't face that kind of expense pressure?
No, so see, SBI being a major channel is, you know, a reality. So, you know, I will not comment on that. But if you look at our cost structure, the way we have structured our business, both banca and agency, we have lower costs than other players. So that advantage we will hope to carry forward. The other thing is for acquisition of new customers. Now, so what happens is that if there are expectations of higher payouts from the from partners whom we may try to acquire or something, then we'll have to see whether that is going to be profitable for us. So obviously, you know, we'll have to take it case by case.
Got it. And the last one, on health insurance, if any thoughts on, you know, if this is allowed for life companies, how can you leverage the opportunity?
Yeah, so health and life, you know, so the mortality, morbidity, the actuarial side of it, there are a lot of commonalities. There is a lot of synergy out there. So that would be, you know, that is something worth looking at. But then having said that, we'll have to take a view looking at our business model, which is right now, and then to see whether we want to have a totally different business model going forward. So that is something which we will, you know, sort of evaluate internally, and then if such a thing possibility comes up, then we'll see what we need to do.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishin Savade from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one question from my side. On the VOND walk, can you just sort of call out the you know, the negative change in operating assumptions?
See, assumption. So just to clarify that we have not made any assumption in this period, because we're showing this walk from the white December 21 to 22. So in March we have made the assumption changes. So the corresponding effect is reflecting this walk. And if you remember, in March we have just made the changes on account of the reinsurance rate and their perspective. So absolutely there are no change in any assumption for this walk.
Yeah, got it. That clarifies. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand on the other channel that has declined year on year by around 30%. So just wanted to understand what's happening there. And the second part to that question is you take into that channel includes all the non-SBI banks. And you said that has grown by around 50%. But just wanted to understand what is the strategy there to increase the AP share from 3% to 6 or 10%. If you could please help me with those two questions.
Yeah, so the other bank shall I can you repeat the question, the second one?
Yeah, sure. So the second one was that, you know, currently the non-SBI bank channel, that is around 3% of your AP, it's growing at 50%, but it's still very small and you have around 10,000-12,000 branches. So just wanted to understand how you're looking at penetrating into that branch network.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll take that first. So basically, you know, we show the potential to the bank, and then we also, you know, we do the same kind of thing that we do always. So the branch, the bank teller or the bank employee will pitch to their customers for insurance, you know. So, you know, we develop their capabilities, we give them training, we give them the knowledge, we show them the products. and we show them what product will be suitable for which customer, and they go and they do the selling to the customer as they come across the counter or, you know, whichever way they would like to do that. The potential, as you can see, the growth is huge, and that is on a smaller base. However, if you look at the last 2 years, we have been growing at this frenetic pace both the years. You know, there is nothing which prevents us from continuing to grow at this kind of a rate for some more time to come, till the, you know, the low-hanging fruit, as so to say, is all taken up. The first one.
The group business is where the growth has not been very high this quarter, and that group business seems to be lumpy, group fund business. That's why you see outside of the individual business where we are showing good growth in other channel, the group business is why the overall growth looks muted.
Okay. If I could just, you know, ask one follow-up question to your answer on that, you know, non-SBI bank channel. Just wanted to understand, given, you know, these are banks which are in open architecture, so you have, you know, other life insurance companies also competing. Can you impress upon that, you know, bank seller to sell SBI Life policies and not other company policies?
See, we don't tell them not to sell other bank policies or other insurer policies. That is the first thing. We show them the product which is good. We show them our mis-selling rates are the lowest. We show them that our delivery is the best. We show them the strength of the company. We have been there for 21 years, and we've been, we were the first to make start making profits. We have been continuously improving our delivery, our service, and our products. That sort of, you know, really works. I mean, if you go back to the basics, you know, you don't need to be too cynical about it. Actually, good work on the ground will actually get you good business.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Just wanted to understand this, on the persistency side, we've seen a drop in over the first half for the 13-month persistency. Secondly, on renewal premium growth, it seems to lag the one of the large peers, which has reported yesterday. Just wanted to understand that.
Which growth?
The renewal premium growth.
Okay.
Is lagging HDFC Life, to be specific here. Just wanted to understand, you know, how, what would be explaining that slower growth in renewal premiums. I guess it could be linked to the persistency question which I asked earlier.
The persistency, very simply, the persistency has not fallen down. If you look at the last December.
13 months, and I'm looking quarter-on-quarter.
See, our persistency in the 9-month FY 2023 was. It is 84.6 against 83.9 last year.
I know. I'm looking quarter-on-quarter, 85.2 for the first half.
Actually, you should not look into the.
Yeah. The behavior of each of the quarters is different. If you look at March, every time March will be higher than December or June or September. That is how you look at it, because a lot of people, you know, end up paying up by March. There is a, you know, there is a tendency to sort of delay the payments, but in March it all gets crystallized. That is the trend that we always see.
Right. Year-end, we should have similar persistency on a year-end.
Yeah, absolutely. We would want to improve the persistency over last year.
Right. Sir, secondly would be on the renewal premium growth, at 15%, year-on-year.
Renewal premium growth, you know, I don't know about the peers. You know, I don't look at the peers' data so much in detail, so I really don't know about them. What I can say is that the renewal premium growth will depend a lot on what was sold last year. You know, to that extent, if whatever was sold last year, we are able to get the collection to the same efficiency that we had last year or better than that, we are happy with that. And let me tell you that we are at a better collection efficiency than last year.
So persistency will drive renewal premium. Renewal premium is outcome of persistency.
Yeah.
Our endeavor is to increase persistency.
That's why I linked the two questions. So the, now you said about the product mix. So would it be that, you know, we've been increasing our share of protection and would that be also a cause for the renewal premium?
Protection, we would want to increase the share of protection. But I don't see how
protection
that
would be lower. Basically, it's persistency in protection lower.
Not really. Not really. We have various products with various persistencies, but on average, I think it all levels up.
Right. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, most welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question, which is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, am I audible? Yeah.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Can I get a sense of, you know, what the back book, how much the back book surplus has grown and versus the new business strain? Your surplus has grown about 50% year over year. And if we were to exclude the COVID impact, which was there last year in the 9 months, and I'm looking at 9 months numbers, not only for the quarter. So what would the surplus growth be if you could give that data point?
So normally we don't disclose this thing, but you can make a sense that we are growing faster than compared to last year. And our profit is also growing. This means our back book is generating enough surplus that not only absorbing our new business strain for the new business, but also helping to grow the profit as well. So a very healthy growth in coming, profit is coming from existing book.
And how much has the new business strain grown by?
We don't disclose that. But it is similar to the year as well. So sometimes depending on the product mix and all keep changing. And we don't disclose, so we don't want to comment on that.
All right. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Kumar Sharma for closing comments.
So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for a very patient hearing, for very interesting and very intelligent questions. And we hope that we have been able to answer your queries. But if there is anything for a follow-up, you can always get in touch with the company. And once again, thank you very much. Stay protected. Have a good night.
Thank you. On behalf of SBI Life Insurance, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.